Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008. A reading from the Book of Exodus. Thus says the Lord, "You shall not molest or oppress an alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt. You shall not wrong any widow or orphan. If you ever wrong them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. My wrath will flare up, and I will kill you with the sword. Then your own wives will be widows, and your children orphans. If you lend money to one of your poor neighbors among my people, you shall not act like an extortioner toward him by demanding interest from him. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you shall return it to him before sunset, for this cloak of his is the only covering he has for his body. What else has he to sleep in? If he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I love you, Lord, my strength.
I love you, Lord, my strength.
I love you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer.
I love you, Lord, my strength.
My God, my rock of refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Praise be the Lord, I exclaim, and I am safe from my enemies.
I love you, Lord, my strength.
The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Extolled be God, my Savior. You who gave great victories to your King, and showed kindness to your anointed.
I love you, Lord, my strength. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you know what sort of people we were among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're here, of course, to discuss these readings. I must say, Dawn, it's good to have you back again. It seems like every other week lately you've been off.
I know, I've just had a busy life. What can I say? I'm in demand.
Yes. You were out in Boston, right? If I'm correct?
Yes, it was awesome. I have an aunt who's in a Carmelite monastery, a diskalced, which means they're behind a screen when you visit them. And anyhow, their community was celebrating their 50th anniversary. And so they decided to invite the families of the nuns to come behind the bars and, well, not behind the bars, but in to see what it's like in the rest of their world. And so our whole family, all like 30 of us,
wow,
got together and we just spent the day together. And it was just so awesome because, you know, I really miss her. And we got to give like a normal hug instead of trying to stick your arm through the grate to give her a hug. And we just hung out and it was great.
Excellent. Well, what was it like behind the bars?
Well, you know, it's their monastery is built on what was once a golf course. So they have...
So they were golfing. They
were golfing,
got a caddy,
right,
and everything.
Yeah. They have about, I'm bad with measurements, but I would guess about 20 acres. And they're facility is right on the edge of the bay in from the ocean, so they have a little water there, and it's just beautiful. But they're inside their building. They make their living, I guess you could call it, by creating banners and doing enrollment. So we got to see where they do their handiwork and got to see their room where, when they eat, they call it a refectory. And
yes, right, that's actually what we call it at the seminary, or even in a you probably at Notre Dame. Do they call it that there?
No,
at the
they
retreat
call
center?
It the dining room.
Ah, okay.
But some people might know that in a order like this, they're duskels, so they don't talk all day long. They pray all day. So when it comes time for meals, they all sit in the same room, but there's no talking. Someone either reads from scripture or from a spiritual book or something like that. So we all got to see what that looks like in their recreation room. And it was just really neat because she's been in there for about 8 years, I would say. And so we've communicated through letters and things, and she tries to explain what it's like, but now we get to see with our own eyes.
Excellent. That must have been quite the experience, being able to be on the inside and
it
everything.
Really was.
Now, I imagine that there were everybody's family was there, not just
yes,
your aunts,
I believe, right? There's about 15 women in that congregation, that community, and so some of them didn't have much family there because they're elderly, but there were a couple of them that had large family like ours. But I'm pretty sure we took the cake. My mom and my aunt are each one of 12, and so 11 of the brothers and sisters were together with their family, so we were pretty crowded.
There you go. Well, that would be big. It's always fun, though, having those big family gatherings and everything.
Right, yes. And then it's fun being able to go your own ways, too.
That's very true, too. I can say that as somebody who is, you know, the same thing. I think everybody feels that about families, as you love them to death, and sometimes it's always good to see them in the rearview mirror every now and then, too.
So, yes.
Anyway, so we should probably move on and talk about some of these readings.
I guess so. I'm sure everyone's really interested in my personal life because it's so exciting.
Well, I think that is very informative and everything. Give people a little sense of both your family, but also the religious life there, or different aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, today we have a great gospel reading here, and it sounds very similar to the golden rule, where we have the most important commandment, where Jesus says it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and that the second is like it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. So really, I always tell people, I say, you know, you can really summarize this all up in one word, which is love, right. I think. And I think that's, you know, an important thing. But before the podcast on, we were talking a little bit, and you were talking about the whole notion of loving oneself. It came up in a conversation where we were talking about people who maybe in our society don't have that same sense of love for yourself as we should, or for whatever reason. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that you wanted to share. Or,
well, you know, just thinking about, I think if, I don't know, a lot of people I know tend to, you know, take everything they can do and to love other people. They would give them the shirt off their back, do whatever you want, but yet they have no love for themselves. And I think it's important that we remember that God created us. He loves us so much, and he sees value in ourselves. And yes, we all mess up. Even I do occasionally. Occasionally it does happen. And, you know, I probably fall into the same category more than anyone else. Don't see my own self-worth. And this is different than self-esteem. And I don't exactly know how. I probably need to think about it more. But it's really until you can love yourself and understand that you are a precious creation in God's eyes, loving your neighbor is something totally different, I think.
I agree. I think some of it too, and there's different ways it manifests itself. And I think, you know, we could end up, this could be coming like the psychology podcast pretty soon here. But I mean, I think there's different ways it manifests itself. There are those who have a who don't really love themselves or who are too manifested by constantly taking care of others. And in some sense, it makes them look good so people don't necessarily notice that this person might have, you mentioned low self-esteem, and there is a difference, I agree, but sometimes I think that's part of it too, is if you don't see yourself as being lovable, and so you're constantly trying to do things to either prove to others or to yourself that you are worthy of being loved. And for some people that might mean they become the type of person who's constantly giving or something like that. Other people could take it to the extent where they completely disrespect themselves because of the fact that they don't love themselves. And, you know, kind of your stereotypical example would be maybe somebody who goes out and abuses drugs or alcohol or sex or something on those kinds of levels. And certainly we see that all over our society as well. And I do think it all comes down to a sense of where we really don't know how to love ourselves in a proper way. And I think that's something that this gospel should cause us to reflect upon, not only just loving neighbor, but how is it that we love ourselves? How is it that we see ourselves as being made in the image and likeness of God, and that is where our self-worth comes from? Or do we see ourselves as having an inherent dignity? And only from that point, only once you do that, can you then really truly show love for your neighbor. You could do things that are kind and nice for your neighbor, even if you don't have love for yourself. But without the love for yourself first, it's impossible to truly have love for anybody else, because you really don't have an understanding of what it is to love and to be loved.
You know, that same sentence, I remember sitting in my third grade classroom and seeing the golden rule, and it said, you know, don't do to anyone else what you wouldn't want done to you. And that's the stereotypical golden rule. But one of the things that somewhere I was reading a long time ago, that almost every culture and religious tradition has that same rule. But what Jesus said is different, because he puts it in the, I guess you could say, the positive sense, and that love your neighbor as yourself. So it's the other ones are in the negative sense, is don't do anything you wouldn't want done to you, so that don't. And this one is saying love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, that whole difference, it's when you really think about it, it can be quite startling.
Oh, yeah, because it's not a minimalist thing anymore. You know, don't do unto others what you wouldn't want them to do to you is kind of this base level thing. But Jesus calls us to something that's a higher virtue, which is loving, and to love somebody else. And that's different from not hurting somebody. And a lot of times our society kind of takes that attitude, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt, I can do whatever I want. But that's not really showing any kind of love for anybody either. That's kind of going to that base foundational level of what we need to maintain a social order or civil society. But what Jesus calls us to do is to go beyond that. And he does it over and over again in the Gospels. It's not just here where he tells us to love one another. You know, he says when somebody, you know, hits you, you turn the other cheek. Don't just, you know, walk away from them, but turn the other cheek. Do something in addition. When somebody asks you to, makes you carry their bag 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. You know, go, that's that extra mile, so to speak. So that's what Jesus calls us to do. It's not this bare minimum thing, but somehow we're called to go beyond that minimum and to seek virtue. And I think that's really what our whole faith tradition is about in our whole lives as Christians is about. It's not just doing the minimum to get by. And so often that's kind of what we try to do, is the minimum to get by, you know, and it's kind of what the rich young man says when he asks Jesus, you know, what must I do to gain eternal life? And he wants the minimum. And then Jesus eventually says, well, if you want to be perfect, go do these things. But we should always be striving for that perfection, always striving to continually improve ourselves, perfect ourselves in charity and in love.
Brian, you're so wise.
I don't know about that. I just quote a bunch of seminary professors. And I mean, it's one of those things, too, is you say it, it's obviously something that's easier said than done. I think the real wisdom would come from somebody who can actually do it. And I think probably for most of us, we've got somebody in our lives we can say has really models charity for us, and if nothing else, it's Yoda from Star Wars for her people. But what it is to love, you know, to love somebody or to go beyond or to have that wisdom that comes from experience. But I think it's something that we also need to continually pray over and actually, you know, seek out, you know, how is what I'm doing not just doing the minimum that's owed somebody, but going beyond that and somehow acting out of Christian love and Christian charity, because that's what Christ calls us to do. It's not to do the minimum, but to go beyond it and actually show true love for people. And it also looks to me like, Dawn, we are coming to the end of our podcast today. So I don't know if you have any trips planned for next week yet or not, or if you'll be back to join us on the podcast. Actually, hopefully you will be. And hopefully all of our listeners will join us. And even if they are planning trips somewhere, they can take us with them on their iPod. So they don't have excuses, Dawn. You've got the excuse. They don't. So we'll see them next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.